Appreciate very much the message that Brother Asa's brought forth, and I desire an interest in your prayers the time that we stand before you. Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You ought to come here on Wednesday nights. You ought to stay on first and third Sunday afternoons. Because we've been blessed with some great cooks. Now, we do have fellowship and worship on Wednesday, and that's a great blessing, and that's the main focal point. But I tell you what, on Wednesday evenings and first and third Sunday afternoons, we have some great cooks, and the food, it tastes great. He's not talking about necessarily from a physical standpoint, although that's an added blessing. You saw how many Southerners raised their hands. And a lot of those Southerners know how to cook, that Southern cooking. It's a blessing. But this verse is not just for Southerners. This verse is for all of us. And he tells us here in the psalm, David highlights some of his experience, that the bottom line is, as Paul Harvey would say, this is the rest of the story. The bottom line is that you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, when you go through the book of Psalm, you'll see that David had a whole host of challenges. But in all of these challenges, God was with him, and God sustained him, and God delivered him. And when he experienced the deliverance of God, it would remind him that I'm reminded that God is good. God is good always. God is good all the time. God is good to his people and good for his people. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the last half of the verse says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. As Brother Asa brought out, if we trust in ourselves, if we trust in those around us, if we trust in things of this world, we're going to get greatly discouraged. The only place that we're going to be fully strengthened is to trust in the Lord. Sometimes I get down through the week when I see all of the sin that is so prevalent, and it looks like it's getting worse instead of better. I want to be positive. I want to be an optimist. I want to be upbeat. That's why I hang around Sister Perry so much. At 99 and a half, she's so positive, and she's had a lot of heartaches and a lot of challenges and a lot of trials in her life, but it's an encouragement to me. But even though I get discouraged throughout the week, and maybe I'm the only one that does, and I try not to let you know if I do, there ought to always be a place that we can come to, that we can receive encouragement, and that we can be an encouragement. That is, for me, the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. It always encourages me when I'm with the Lord's people. It always encourages me when I'm in the house of the Lord. It should be a place of refuge. It should be a place of safety. I'm so happy that we have all these little kids here. I think, again, us old folks are probably outnumbered. And isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a blessing? I'm so thankful for all these little kids. And Bray, you count as well in that group. But we've got a wonderful place to come to be encouraged and to give us a jump start to go out in the world. And in addition to that, God's Word encourages us and God Himself encourages us. Let's look at Psalm 34. When David wrote this, he had just gone through a real discouraging experience, yet God saw him through and God delivered him. Did you know that a lot of the songwriters, if you pick up the book, the hymn book that we have, and if you look at a lot of the songs that are written in this book, if you look at the history of the songwriters, most of the writers of these hymns wrote the hymns either when they were right in the midst of some difficult times or when God had delivered them from difficult times. Do you know that's why we can relate to them so well? It is. They'd had some difficult trials. You look at William Cowper that wrote "God Moves in a Mysterious Way." It is a wonderful, wonderful song. It talks about the power of God and how God sustains and how God holds him up. William Cowper had some of the most discouraging times of anybody that I've ever known. Yet God held him up and he was able to put it down in print. And did you know by that happening, it's helped you and I? David had just experienced being brought before the king. You can go and read it in detail in 1 Samuel chapter 21. I won't read it in detail, but if you want to read that, David, he had defeated Goliath, and yet Saul was after him. Saul was jealous of him. They were going around saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so Saul became jealous of David and he began to pursue his life. And then David was fleeing and it says that he went to Gath and the king of Gath was there. And of course he had slain Goliath of Gath and Achish, the king of Gath, was there. And while David's there, they begin to sing this song or chant this about David. And the word goes out that David has slain Goliath. And so David, it says it's laid up in his heart. And all of a sudden, when David was brought before the king, he realized that very likely his life was on the line. He realized very likely that because of Saul being after him, of the reports that had gone out, that when he went before Achish, that very likely his life would be taken. So David begins to come up with something in his own mind. And he said, in his own mind, in his own heart, he began to think about it and he began to fear. And it says that David changed his behavior. He says he changed his behavior before them. He was right in their presence. He was in the presence of the king. And he began to fear for his life. And it says that he changed his behavior before him. And he says he became himself as mad, as he had lost his mind, as if he was a crazy man, as if he was a lunatic. He began to act out as if he had no mind, if he had no right mind, if he had no senses. And it says he scrabbled on the doors of the gate, scraping the doors of the gate, marking on the doors of the gate. And it says he even let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Now, that's not why I'm trying to grow a beard. My great-granddaddy had a beard, and I met him when he was 90 years old, and he also dipped snuff and chewed tobacco. And you could see the effect of that on his beard. And I'm going to shave mine before that happens. But that's how David portrayed himself, as a completely madman. And Achish says, the king says, "What in the world did you men bring this madman up to me for? I've already got enough madmen in my kingdom. I don't need another one. You let him go." So David was let go. And then Saul, it tells, pursued his life even more. Even God blessed him to be in the presence of Saul. And he cut off a portion of Saul's garment when he was asleep. And there's a great example in chapters 24 and 25 of how God, through his mercy and providence, spared the life of David. And how that God was honored in that. But David had been delivered from what he thought his life was just about to be taken. And so much of his life, he was fleeing from somebody trying to take his life. You think we've had challenges. look at David and read the book of Psalms. Every time I read the book of Psalms, I am encouraged. And I believe that's why David was inspired to write it down. Because God knew that we're going to experience some of the same trials and difficulties that David experienced. And so He had him pin it down. He had him inspire His Word in print so that you and I would benefit from it. Now let's look at Psalm 34. We'll briefly go through Psalm 34. David says, I've been delivered. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Wouldn't you like to do that? Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night. Wouldn't you like to bless the Lord at all times? He says, I bless the Lord at all times. Haven't you been there? You've experienced the deliverance. Then all of a sudden you say, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him from now on. I'm not going to think those thoughts. I'm not going to say those things. I'm not going to do those things that I did in the past. I've been delivered. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. David said, I'll bless Him. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then David just sort of steps back and belts this out. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I love to come to the house of the Lord. I love to come to the house of the Lord when we're encouraged to worship the Lord. When we're encouraged to praise the Lord. When we don't come looking like we've lost our last friend. But when we come here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. David says, I want to praise the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord. And he says, and I want you to do it with me. He says, oh, come to the house of the Lord and praise His name and magnify the Lord. He says, let us exalt His name together. That is a real good indication right there that we can't worship the Lord in the same manner by ourselves on the fishing bank as we can in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people. There's a benefit and there's a blessing and there's an encouragement to come together to the Lord's house. David says, I want to magnify the Lord. And he says, and I want to magnify Him with you. I want you to come to the house of the Lord and I want to worship the Lord together. He says, let us exalt His name together. He says, I sought the Lord. Anybody here ever sought the Lord? He says, I sought the Lord, and look what He said. Good news is, whether I realized it or not, whether I knew it or not right at that time, I sought the Lord. And He says, the good news is, He heard me. Brother James, I expect there have been a lot of prayers going up for Liam. And it's good news to know that God hears those prayers. Brother Mike Koski shared the testimony last week about how God had heard the prayers for his father that had been designated with dying with a terminal illness, and God has blessed him and encouraged and spared his life for a season. David says, I ran to the Lord, and the good news is the Lord heard me. That's encouraging to know that God hears us. He says, I ran to the Lord heard me. He says, and by the way, He delivered me out of all my fears. Isn't that great to know that God is there to hear you? It may be that your friends, it may be that your family, it may be that your boss or your co-worker or your pastor or the deacons may not be there to hear you, but the Lord is always there to hear you all the time. And he says, the good news is that God heard my prayer and God delivered me and God removed those fears from me. Now that's good news. He says, they looked unto Him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. And then David says again, he says, this poor man, Asa described our condition, this poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord saved him out of some of his troubles. It's not what he says. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. And the Lord saved him out of
all of his troubles. Did you know that each one of us right here this morning were testimonies to this right here? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Lord. Not a one of us. If it wasn't for the Lord hearing us, saving us, holding us up, delivering us, we wouldn't be here. He said, this poor man, David said, I don't have anything to offer. I can't afford it. I don't have what it takes to pay. This poor man went to the Lord. The Lord heard him, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. Here's another good one. Now, in the olden days, they were encouraged to write it upon the doorpost. They were encouraged to write it upon the doorpost of the house. You could put it above the top of the door of the house or along the side if you want to. And that's fine if you want to do that. I'm going to tell you that let's put it on the refrigerator. Or you can put it on the dash of the car. Or put it on the computer screen so that it's at a place that it'll remind you to every time you look at it. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. I tell you what, the older I get, the more and more I believe in angels. I do. And I know that one is more than adequate, but I believe that God sometimes puts a host of angels around me. You get on Interstate 95 and go down to 495, you better believe in angels. Lord goes before you. He goes behind you. He goes around you. Says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. There's just no telling what's going on behind the scene that you and I don't even see that's protecting us against ourselves and against others. There's angels that are working on your behalf and on my behalf. There's angels that are right there, I believe, in that operating room when you're in the hospital. There's angels, I believe, when you're traveling down the road and all of a sudden, somehow, your foot goes over and hits the brake when your mind didn't even process it that fast. There's angels that are hovering around you. I've mentioned the story, although some of you here haven't heard it, of old Elder Cecil Daugherty, who... I'm sure Brother Bear remembers Cecil Daugherty. He preached up in this area. Able preacher. Preached up until he was about 80 years old. And he would travel up here and preach. And he would drive all over the country preaching. And he would wear himself out. He would get weary. And he said one day, he said, I was traveling on a preaching trip. And he says, I think he was in Georgia, in the hills of Georgia, somewhere, probably North Carolina. That's where most everybody is or comes from or goes. But he was traveling in the hills, and he said that he dozed off, and his car went off the road, and it went over a hill. And when he woke up, he says, and of course woke him up. And when he woke up and he landed back on the road, he said he stopped his car and he got out and he walked that path. And he said, I realized even if I'd have been wide awake, completely sharp, there's no way that I could have driven my car through that path. He believed in angels. He did. Good news is, after that though, he started traveling on the Greyhound bus, and he called it the Gospel Dog. There's angels that are around us. And they're taking care of us. They're watching out for us. John, aren't you glad to know there's some angels watching after your kids? He says, there's angels that are going around us. They're protecting us. They're watching out for us. And he says, and they deliver us. He says again right here in verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord's good. He's a good God. He blesses us with angels. He cares for us. He watches over us. He protects us. He's there for us. He's good God. Oh, fear the Lord, all ye His saints, for there is no want for them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Now, He doesn't say anything. As old Sister Elsie Evans used to say, she said, "God didn't give me." She was 80-some-odd years old. She said, "I look back upon my life. God didn't give me all my wants, but God gave me all of my needs." He says right here that if there's something good for you, if there's something for your good, if it is for your good and for His glory, God's not going to hold it back. He says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man that he desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good?" He says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it." He says, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You've experienced the hand of God, the deliverance of God. He says, now you go out and you depart from evil. You go out and do good. You go out and seek peace and you pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You know, sometimes it's easy to get discouraged with all the ungodliness and all the wickedness and all the sin that is around. We talked about it on Wednesday night, and not a doubt in my mind, one of the reasons that the population as a whole has gone in this direction, we discussed this on Wednesday night, is we became so smart and we became so bright and we became so eloquent that in the early 60s, in 1964, 1965, we listened to one ungodly lady, Madeline Murray O'Hare, and we gave in to taking the Bible out of schools and prayer out of school and pulling the Ten Commandments off the wall. Sister Perry was here and she told the story that she said, when I went to school, they only had 11 grades. And she said, our day started at the schoolhouse that we went to. Our day started with all of the classes coming together, all 11 grades. And she said, we spent 1 hour singing hymns, reading God's Word, hearing messages from God's Word, praying, and that's how we started our day. But folks think that we're so much better off because we've attempted to take God out of the classroom, the Ten Commandments, out of the courthouses, and we feel like that we've made progress. We've gone about two generations from folks that had any influence from the Bible. Maybe they didn't grow up in a Christian home. Maybe they didn't grow up among old school or primitive Baptist. Maybe they didn't grow up where there was homeschooling. Maybe they didn't grow up where there was any influence at all. But back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, they were at least exposed to the principles that were taught in God's Word. That's why there's not any right or wrong anymore. Go over and read in Jeremiah chapter 6 and chapter 9. And he says, things got so bad that when there was ungodliness and there was sinfulness that was going around, that it says people didn't even blush anymore when they heard it. And do you know that's sort of where we've gotten today? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. We've got to remember the point that I wanted to make. We've got to remember that even though we get discouraged, even though we may think that things are spiraling in a downward direction, morally speaking, ultimately, at the end of the day, God's in charge. It's His earth. It's His church. And if He chooses to get our attention, which He may very well do, He certainly knows what it would take to bring us back to Him. It says, "The Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now you may be saying, and you hold this thought, because you may be saying in your own mind, "Well, Brother Stephen, I've got some troubles that God has not delivered me from. I've got some troubles in my life that God has not delivered me from. And I'm the exception to this verse. Because I've got troubles that God has not delivered me from. So what are you going to do with that verse?" There's another one that mentions it again in verse 19, and we'll get to that here in just a second. "The righteous cry, the Lord heareth and delivereth him out of all their troubles." Certainly God delivers us every day of our life. He says, "The Lord delivereth him out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart." Anybody here ever had a broken heart? I don't encourage it. I'm not encouraging you to have a broken heart. But if you end up with a broken heart, you're not there by yourself. And there's some good news to those that are of a broken heart. He said, "The Lord is nigh." What does nigh mean? It means that He's near to those that are of a broken heart. If anybody has a broken heart, you're real close to the Lord. Lord's right there with you. The Lord's in the same room with you. He's in the same car with you. He's right there with you when you've got a broken heart. He said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and He saveth such that have a contrite or broken spirit." The Lord is right there with you. And those that have a broken heart, those that have a broken spirit, the Lord is right there with you to hold you up. "That's why I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do it in myself. I can't do it in others. But I can do it in the Lord. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my life. The Lord is the one that sustains me." David says, "Lord's right there with me." And then he says again, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Boy, that's for sure. Brother Al Perry, one of the last times that he was able to drive himself to church, with a great deal of effort, he came up the ramp and made it as far as that first chair in the foyer before he had to sit down and regain enough strength to come on in here and sit in the auditorium. And he said, "You know that verse that says, 'The days of our years are 70, and by reason of strength 80, and with 80, that's 80 plus, there's much labor and sorrow,' meaning it's hard?" He said, "I can attest to that. That's right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Some afflictions come upon us because of our own sinfulness. They come upon us because of our own sinful choices. And they may plague us throughout our life. Some afflictions come upon us because of the sins of others. Anybody ever had kids that they didn't do just exactly the way you had thought that they would, and brings about some challenges and some trials? Some afflictions may come upon us if we reach old age. Few of us are going to be like Sister Perry and Elder Compton who fly past that 100-year-old mark and don't have some difficulties and trials along the way. Some may be that God allows afflictions to come in our life, and it's not the result of a sin. It may be that it's to glorify His name. And if we're faithful to serve Him in the midst of our afflictions, it may be that it's to honor and glorify the Lord. So what does this mean? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. I can sign up for that, Brother Stephen. I can relate to that. I've had trials in my life. Maybe they started at a young age, and now I'm middle-aged or I'm old, and it seems like my life has been filled with trials. Yes, Brother Stephen, I can relate that many are the afflictions of the righteous. And maybe He's delivered me from some, or maybe He's delivered me from many, but He hasn't delivered me from all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Did you know that you haven't seen the rest of the story yet? We saw some of the trials that Brother Polk had, Brother Maurice Cook, some of those faithful saints before the Lord took them home, Sister Jackson. But did you know that they don't have those anymore? God has promised that He's going to deliver us. He may choose to deliver us right now, here in time, as we're living on this earth. And He does deliver us oftentimes. You go back and look, and you begin to count the many blessings, and you'll name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. God may deliver you here in this life, but whether He chooses to deliver you here in this life, or when He takes you home to glory, the good news is you're going to be delivered from all afflictions. There's not a single affliction you're going to take with you to glory, because He's promised that everyone will be delivered by. He may deliver us here. If He doesn't deliver us here, He's got a purpose in not delivering us. But He's promised that He's going to deliver us. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And going back to our theme where He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He says, God has told me He's going to deliver me out of the hand of Saul. He's going to deliver me out of the hand of my son. He's going to deliver me out of the hand of my enemies. He may do it now. He may do it here in time. Or He may do it when He takes me on home to glory. But He says, I'm going to be delivered from all of my afflictions. By the way, God is good. And He says, I want you to taste and see that God's good. I want you to magnify His name with me. I want to come together and I want to praise His name, because we worship a good God, and God is good. He keepeth all His bones, not one of them is broken. Some say that's referring to Christ. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. May God bless you.